Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Draft Prospect Review, one of the many podcasts of the New England Patriots. And we've got Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart. So let's start it off right now.
And thank you, Lori. Back for another Patriots Draft Prospect Review. It is mid-February. We are just a week away, a little more than a week away, from heading to the Combine. I'm here with Andy Hart and Tom Casale. We will be en route to lovely Indianapolis. We couldn't quite get the Hawaii trip last week, so we have to settle for a similarly exotic location, Indianapolis. But we're all excited about that. And once we're there, we'll have plenty more info once we have some firsthand information about some of these players to talk about on these Draft Prospect Review podcasts. But for now, one thing we're going to do over the coming weeks is sort of go back into some of the recent Patriots drafts under Bill Belichick and Scott Pioli and sort of analyze and dissect a little bit how the Patriots did in those drafts. So we're going to start out with last year, the 2006 draft, and obviously, one year after any draft, the jury is certainly still out. But in terms of first day picks, the Patriots took Lawrence Maroney, Chad Jackson, and David Thomas, rounds 1, 2, and 3. Some offensive skill position players. Now, Tom and Andy, like I said, the jury is still out. Where would you rank those three players in terms of what kind of progress they made in their first season as Patriots?
Well, I think they did pretty well. Thomas and Maroney, you know, Jackson had some struggles, and we're going to have to wait until next season. I think he's the key to this draft. Mm-hmm. If Jackson develops, I think it's a very good draft. If he doesn't, I think it's a pretty good draft. But you know, speaking of Maroney, I was watching the Pro Bowl and I saw Steven Jackson, and I was just thinking how his first year, how people were start questioning him a little bit. Yeah. But then once he got the touches, the carries, he took off. And I think Maroney takes off next year. I think Graham probably leaves. Thomas takes off next year. Jackson, he's the key. He's the question.
And that's the thing with Maroney. I feel like they handled, even though his production certainly slipped towards the end, he had an injury in November, December, I think the way they sort of handled the running back situation was good, because they didn't give the entire workload to a rookie who is, you know, rookies are used to playing 10, 11, 12 games a season, season ending in November. You know, it's a little bit of a different pace in the NFL, so I thought they handled that pretty well. And I think his production, certainly per carry, was pretty good, 4 yards a carry. He showed some explosiveness, and I certainly agree on Chad Jackson that the outlook on the entire draft 2, 3, 4 years down the line will probably hinge on him. And Thomas showed some signs on special teams and also a little bit in the passing game as well. So we'll see what he can do. Now, on the second day, obviously the highlight was Steven Gostkowski. They took the kicker in the fourth round. He panned out. He had some early struggles in the Cincinnati and Denver game, but really came through in the end and had a perfect postseason. So that was good. And Ryan O'Callaghan was the starting right tackle going into the season. So you have to say they hit on that trip on that pick. A couple of the others, Garrett Mills landed on injured reserve. Jeremy Mincy and Dan Stevenson were sent packing. And then Willie Andrews and Lekeven Smith were bottom of the roster players. You know, when you look at some of these guys who are on the roster from the second day who didn't make much of an impact, any of them stand out to you as guys who in year two will be able to make a bigger leap?
Well, I don't know about a bigger leap, but I think that's what you're looking for at the end of the draft, is just guys that fill out the bottom of your roster, can contribute. You're not going to get a Tom Brady every single draft where you end up with some franchise starter for 10 years in the sixth round. But if you get a backup tackle or maybe even a starting tackle eventually in Ryan O'Callaghan, I think that's a good pick. The one concern with him is it multiple head injuries in his rookie season. And is that an issue that moves forward? Obviously, in this current landscape of the NFL, concussions, that's an issue to keep an eye on with him. Willie Andrews obviously showed some spark as a returner in the preseason. Didn't get to see much of that in the regular season. I think he's going to be a roster bubble guy again in his second camp. And Lekeven Smith, you never know how those guys are going to develop. We saw an Ethan Kelly that was here for the better part of 3 years, I want to say. Yeah. Never really panned out. Ended up going elsewhere, bouncing around. But they've been looking for that backup nose tackle type for a few years now. Tom and I were actually just talking about it. That's one of the things at the combine in the defensive lineman is to look for a true nose tackle backup. They've sort of lacked that. You get Mike Wright pushed in there, or you have to rework your line. They've been looking for that position. Lekeven Smith is clearly in the running to be that guy. It'd be interesting to see what he does in year two.
Right, and at that position, you know, back in 2003, they had Ted Washington. In 2004, when Wilfork was a rookie, they had Keith Traylor as well. So they've sort of you know, for a couple of years they were pretty good. Obviously, Vince Wilfork is becoming one of the premier nose tackles, but you're right, some depth at that position pretty good. And all you're looking for in a lot of these second day picks, you know, what can they do on special teams? And Willie Andrews did pretty well in special teams. I think it was the Ellis Hobbs touchdown kickoff return against Houston where he had the key block, and it seems like he had a pretty solid year.
Also did a pretty good job as a gunner. He's a guy, but I still think he's always going to be, and you know, Larry Izzo has talked about this forever, he's never felt like he's made a roster because it's sort of the nature of the position. You're in that last group of guys, and even as a Pro Bowler, you never know how the cards unfold. But I think Andrews has shown some things. The interesting thing would be if he can ever get himself to a level where he's a backup in any sort of role on defense. That would be the kind of thing that would ensure him a spot on this team, because he'd sort of be filling two voids there. But he's an interesting player to keep an eye on because of, again, the explosive athleticism that it, you know, you don't necessarily expect out of his build and some of the plays he's able to make.
Well, out of 10 picks that they made in the 2006 draft, 8 of those players made the final roster. And of those 8, 7 were still on the final roster at the end of the season. Garrett Mills being on injured reserve, the only one who wasn't on the final 53-man roster. Mincy and Stevenson let go during training camp. It was, you know, a rookie class of 10. And then you're not even talking about the rookie free agents that they brought in, like Corey Mays and Pierre Woods. That's a fifth of your roster right there. It's kind of hard to get all those players onto the roster. I was sort of surprised as the draft went on last year that they didn't deal any of those picks, you know, dealing a fourth rounder in 06 for a third rounder in 07, things like that. They didn't quite do that. Well, as we go along in future weeks, we'll look at other drafts from this decade. But one note on the Patriots 2007 draft, that the official selections in each round have now come out, and the Patriots did get a 6th-round pick from Arizona for Brandon Gorin. That was a conditional pick. They traded Gorin during training camp to Arizona, and it turns out they're getting a 6th-round pick from Arizona for Gorin. There were a couple of other trades that they made with conditional picks involved that none of those materialized. I think it was Cleveland for Ross Tucker and
the running back,
one other,
Hobbs.
Patrick Cobbs.
Cobbs.
To Pittsburgh, I think. Neither one of those guys either made the team or
led to anything,
performed well enough to get to
get Patrick Cobbs didn't make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, well, he was headed to Canton after his preseason. We all know that. So just to refresh everyone's memory, the Patriots, of course, do have 2 first rounders this year. They have their own 2nd, they have their own 3rd, they have their own 4th. Their original 5th-round pick goes to Oakland for Doug Gabriel. As we all know how his tenure in New England panned out. So the Patriots have their own 6th and their own 7th, and that other 6th-round pick that we told you about from Arizona. Now, as we move forward, and we will probably do some of these projections over the next two plus months as well, but we figured we'd take an early stab at the Patriots mock draft, their first round, their 2 first round picks, and their second rounders and their second rounder. We are still about 10 weeks away from the draft. A lot changes now between now and the draft, and when you look at mock drafts from guys like Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, things like that, they've already had Tom Casale, they've already had multiple versions of their mock drafts, and there will be many more. So it's always interesting to see how those develop over the course of the next few months. So we'll kind of do the same. So, Andy, why don't you kick it off, and we'll go with the 24th pick. We'll go around the table. Then we'll go 28th, and then we'll go the second rounder. So,
okay, the 24th pick in this mock draft, I select Patrick Willis, linebacker, Ole Miss.
Inside.
I know it's the obvious one, it's the boring one, but from what I've seen so far, obviously, you know, reading about him, we'll get a chance to talk to him at the combine. He seems like a Patriot player on so many levels, including the fact that he's a playmaking inside linebacker, something they need. So I think his downside is a 2-down player. His upside is he could be a 3-down sideline to sideline linebacker.
Yes, and Willis would be my first choice too, but we don't want to pick the same person.
No, I'm
not sure if he'll be there after if he has a good combine.
Right, yeah.
So I'm going to go with Jarvis Moss, the defensive end outside linebacker from Florida. You saw him terrorizing Troy Smith from Ohio State in the national championship game. He's got a quick burst off the edge, needs a little help in coverage, but I think he can come in right away as a pass rusher, learn the position on the run, plus, you know, the pipeline with Urban Meyer there at Florida, so I think that would be a good fit if they go outside linebacker.
Well, I'm going to go with a couple of pipeline picks also in this, but with the 24th pick, I'm going to go with LSU wide receiver Dwayne Bowe. Pipeline pick, and the Nick Saban, he's still, you know, Nick Saban was still there back at that time. A 6'2" guy, he had a pretty good Senior Bowl, at least the week of practices as well. And, you know, the last 2 years ago, I never would have thought the Patriots would take an interior offensive lineman in the first round. They did. Last year, I wouldn't have thought they'd take a running back in the first round. They did. I don't really think they're going to take a wide receiver in the first round.
They will.
But they will. So I'm going to go with Dwayne Bowe, LSU.
So is that an admission of anything on Chad Jackson?
I think that even if Chad Jackson had a really good rookie year, that wide receiver is still a position of some need. Now, it would be a little less glaring if he had a big year because right. You would have seen Caldwell have a decent year, Gaffney emerge a little bit, and you still have Troy Brown. But it's a bigger need now, and I personally think that Chad Jackson is going to have a tough time really making an impact this year.
Okay.
And
no, I'm just asking because what the perception is going to be. If you,
right.
With your first-round pick, if you take a wide receiver,
right.
I think a lot of people are going to view that as, wow, Chad Jackson was a bust. They don't think he's ever going to be the guy.
Right. But the only position really where you can't, you know, having more than one great player or more than one productive player that you can't really use both is quarterback. You
right.
can use more than one wide receiver. So even if he was doing well, yeah, I think wide receiver is still a target. Okay. 28th pick, Andy. What do you got?
I am going to go with Michael Griffin. Safety, Texas. I think he's a playmaker, first of all. Played strong safety at Texas. A lot of talk of him being more of a free guy because of his coverage abilities. Right there, to me, that screams Bill Belichick player. Play the run, play the pass, have some fun with him. Young, athletic guy. I think he's very talented. And, again, it kind of fills it. I'm going a lot on need here. You need a playmaker at linebacker. You need some playmakers in the middle of that secondary.
Mm-hmm. I'm sticking same position, different player. Brandon Merriweather, safety from Miami. I love this guy. I think he's going to be a Pro Bowl safety. Now, there's some concerns about his off-the-field problems. Now, I talked to someone from Miami, and they told me...
Michael Irvin?
No, not Michael
he's
Irvin.
He's a pretty expert at the off-the-field problems from Miami.
But they told me that this is completely overblown, that the helmet swinging thing... That happened because right. a player attacked one of his coaches, and he was defending his coach. And I was told, this is just what I was told, that at the combine, he will put to rest all the off the field. They said he's a tremendous person, and he will show that at the combine. So if that's true, I think you get a player with his ability at 28 that can come in and play safety for you. I think Belichick gets him in the Pro Bowl year two or three.
Interesting. Fairly or unfairly, players from Miami have a stigma, that school being a school of just players running wild off the field, on the field. Vince Wilfork seems to have been one of the exceptions, but you're right. At the combine might be the time to sort of dispel some of that.
Santonio Thomas also an exception.
Santonio Thomas, yeah. And then we've got the running back, too, that they signed to the practice squad. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
At Quadrant Hill.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a safety as well. Sticking with the pipeline thought here, Reggie Nelson of Florida. Patriots went big after Florida guys last year, not just Chad Jackson in the draft, but they took a bunch of their guys in after the draft.
Before you just do your description, mm-hmm. that if Reggie Nelson is available at 28, I'll take him.
I'll take him if he's available at 24.
Right, I think that's going to be a tough one.
Look.
No, we don't know how the draft.
No. That's why we want to do this early.
We agree with you that if Reggie Nelson is a.
I know what you're saying. But I think I think youth and explosiveness and speed at safety. He's not necessarily one of the fastest guys. I think he's not.
He covers a lot of ground though.
Right, covers a lot of ground. Good in coverage as well. And I think youth at safety is a position that they're really going to have to go after with the makeup.
Obviously,
of the roster
we all think that as we took safety with our 28.
28. Okay, so second round, Patriots 28th pick overall, so it's around 60 overall in the draft. What do you got, Andy?
I am going with another safety, and I'm also going with a trend here of Belichick picks. This is where, obviously, we've seen Bethel Johnson, Marquise Hill, Chad Jackson. I think a lot of times in the second round, they like to take guys who have a lot of physical talent, speed, measurables, those sort of things, but aren't necessarily football players, haven't put it in.
Yeah.
Guys, projects is right. kind of the word everybody uses. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But the guy I'm going with is a safety out of Virginia Tech, Aaron Rouse. Numbers, just ridiculous. 6'4", 218, 4'4", 40, but has never put it together. You see a numbers like that, you say, great football player, must be a great playmaker. Has never really been able to put it together. I think under Bill Belichick, he'd have a good chance to do that. Sort of a Tabucky Jones type, where at worst, you end up with a guy who contributes in the secondary, plays special teams. At best, who knows, maybe you get a steal of a safety.
Right, late second round, you know, what can you expect?
Well, I'm going with a trade up here. The Patriots move up to take Rutgers running
with
back.
Who?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
Brian Leonard. I mean, I've guaranteed this guy's coming to, I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Runs, catches, throws it, blocks,
jumps.
Plays special teams, jumps over people. I mean, honestly, he could be Belichick's long lost son. I mean, that's how much he is a Patriots player. And I don't think he'll be there at 60. I think whatever happens with Corey Dillon, if he comes back or not, his time is coming, near the end. You bring in a guy like Leonard, he's not going to be the every down back, but he can spell Maroney. He can catch the ball. Plus he takes over for Falk once he goes. So a very versatile player that can come in here and contribute right away.
And in all seriousness, how far do you think the Patriots at this stage would have to move up to get Brian Leonard?
In the 40s. So I think Brian Leonard will be the star of the combine, and he will shoot up. He could even end up going at the end of the first round, possibly. And if that's the case, then forget it.
But top 40
pick. If he's in like the 45, 48 range, maybe they move up a little bit to get him.
And they have some of the late picks, you know, some of the first to do
it. They got the firepower.
Well, I agree with what you're saying about, you know, Dylan, maybe he'll be here, maybe not. But the whole idea of having more than one back that can be a first and second down guy, as opposed to here's your first and second down guy, here's your third down guy. I'm going to go with Tony Hunt, the running back out of Penn State. He's big. He's 6'2". He's got good, actually pretty good receiving numbers as well. So whether or not Corey Dillon comes back, aside from Maroney, they don't have a lot of youth at the position. Kevin Faulk, you know, he's now in his eighth, ninth year, whatever it is. This will be his, I think, eighth. And then you got Heath Evans, Patrick Pass, who are free agents. So I think that's almost like an underrated position of need as we go into this draft, where I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Patriots take a running back.
I like Hunt. I think he's a good player.
So we'll see. We'll see how all these guys perform at the combine. Again, we will have one more draft prospect review podcast before we go to the combine. That'll be next Tuesday. And this Friday, we'll of course have a Patriots roster report as well. Okay, and that will do it for this edition of the Patriots Draft Prospect Review. For Andy Hart and Tom Casale, I'm Ryan Lowe. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Check back again next week for a new Draft Prospect Review podcast. And keep checking Patriots.com for all our new podcasts in the off-season. Thanks for listening, and go Pack!